Today's shiur is dedicated for a schus for refuah shleima, for shalom and bracha. Today's shiur is masechta nedarim, daf chav zayin, and we will begin on daf chav vav amud beis, three lines from the bottom, esrei ravina l'rava. To quickly review, in our previous shiur, we reflected back on what we had discussed earlier in the perek. The concept of neder shorta miktsasa huta kulay. If a neder is partially annulled, what does that do to the rest of the neder? And we had seen Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, have a much more lenient approach to neder shorta miktsasa huta kulay. But as much as they have that more lenient approach to this question, we had a machloikis in the previous year between Rava and Rava, how to understand that machlokes. The first opinion that we had learned in that previous year was the opinion of Rava. The Rava said that even Rav Akiva, even Beis Hillel, who have this more lenient view of neder shorta miktsasa huta kulay, only have it when two things happened. One is obviously part of the nether was annulled, and also the nether was reworded. Again, this is the Ran's Pshat in the Gemara that we've been working with. That the nether was reworded. And since the nether was not said in the same words, when we have both of those situations, we say nether shota miktsasai huta kulay. According to Rekiva. And Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai, we wouldn't say neder shorta miktsasa huta kulay under either circumstance. The other opinion, Rava's opinion, was actually a more lenient approach to the machlokes. And according to him, if the wording was changed, even Beis Shammai would agree that we say neder shorta miktsasa huta kulay. The only time, according to Beis Shammai, we don't say neder shorta miktsasa huta kulay is when the wording of the neder wasn't changed. And if the wording wasn't changed, that's where Beis Hillel will still say neder shorta miktsasa huta kulay, and Beis Shammai will disagree. Begins the Gemara. The Esrei, Ravina l'Rava. Ravina asks a question to Rava on his, based on his understanding of the machloikis of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Reb Nosson says yesh nedesh miktsasai mutar umiktsasai asar. He begins by discussing a situation that where do we say nedesh miktsasai huta kulay in a case ketzat nodem in a kalkola. There was a basket full of dates in front of him shahayba b'noy shuach, that in that basket there were also te'enim that are the B'nai Shuach variety. There's some Rishonim that say that actually the Girs of the Gemara is B'nai Sheva and not B'nai Shuach, because this type of grape, the date, the B'nai Sheva type, has different halacha as far as Hilcha Shemitah go versus all other fruits. All other fruits are which blossom in the seventh year, would not be ready to eat until the ninth year. That's why he says that everybody, that's the status of this fruit, and therefore they don't have the same Hilchos Shemitah. And he goes on to say, so interestingly, that Adam Arishin, when he called these Te'enim B'nai Sheva, was able to determine that these dates are different than all other dates. Another pshat that the Shita suggests is that we know the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Amar Aleph, debates what type of fruit was the fruit of the Eitz Hadas that Adam and Chava ate from that tree. And the Gemara suggests that there were dates, and the Shita says not only were they dates, that they were dates that were the B'nai Sheva variety. And we know that as a result of the Aveira of eating from the Eitz Hadas, death came to the world. And death is represented with the number 7 because of the Shiva Yimei Avelis, because of the 7 days of Avelis, the Rachman Tzlon, somebody has to sit when a relative is Nifter. Another pshat, however, keeps the explanation of the Noshuach, keeps that explanation, and says that, again, these dates are the dates that were eaten by Adam Arishin and Chava, and Shuach comes from the word Shoicha, to cry. And these dates are the dates that brought crying to the world. Says the Gemara. So, says the Braisa, Vamaloi. And somebody tells this person who made the nether that he wouldn't have any te'enim, saying to him, Eloi Yisudea, had you been aware, Shavanoi Shuach B'soichai, that these types of dates, the Shuach dates, are in this basket, because it wasn't his intention to prohibit himself from eating those types of date. So the halach is, Reb Nesson says, that hakakala asura, all the fruits in the kakala are asur, the b'nai shuach mutaris, and that type of date is mutar. Says the Braisa, that was Reb Nesson's original statement. Achabar b'kiva v'limeid, my love, isn't the Brisa referring to a situation? Had I known that this type of date is in that basket, I would have changed the wording of my nether and saying, he started off with a general wording where he said, all dates are osur. And now he says, I would have changed my wording and would have said that black dates, white dates are osur, or b'nai shuach mataris. And the b'nai shuach are mataris. And the Ran points out, he wouldn't even have to go to a chacham to be matan neder. Because the Ran suggests that he never had intention that b'nai shuach should be osur. Since he never had any intention that b'noi shuach should be osur, so says the Ran, it represents a nidre tos. It represents a nether that was made by mistake. And the halach is that when you have a nether that was made mistake, there's no need even to go to rav to be mat the nether. Ilo yisidei she b'noi shuach b'toicha yisidei emetenim shcharis v'lvanus asuris u'b'noi shuach mataris. And still says that Brisa, whose opinion is it that the nether is going to be a nether shehuta mektsasoi huta kulai? It's the opinion of Rabbi Kiva or Pligi Rabbanim. But ask the Gemara, as we said in our introductory remarks to the Shia today, according to Rava, even the Rabbanim, who, as we've said a number of times in our Shurim, here are really the same as Beis Shammai, are of the opinion that if you change your wording, even they would subscribe to the concept of neder shemuktasa huta kulai. So why wouldn't we say the same here? So Tosfos asked the obvious question. We had a very similar discussion at the end of our previous year with the onions and the kufri onions, and the Gemara said that we don't have to say that the wording was changed. And since we don't have to explain that Brisa, the wording was changed, that's why it's not a question on Rava. So ask Tosfos, why don't we say the same thing here? That you're assuming that there was a wording changed, and yet the Rabbanan are disagreeing. What forces you to say that there was a change of wording in this Brisa? So Tosfos answers, by the onion, he said, the Brisa said, Koidem Batzel Olai. And therefore, that the Brisa was quite clear that his original statement was Koidem Kala Batzolam Olai. And therefore, the Gemara assumed the Brisa, that the wording changed, that he continued using those words Kala Batzolam. But here we're speaking about a basket of grapes, basket of dates. It doesn't seem, and the Gemara seems that doesn't mean that he would necessarily, that it means that he would change. At the beginning, he thought it was all the bad dates, and now he started realizing there are different types of dates in the basket, and since there are different types of dates in the basket, the halacha ought to be that it's obvious that he's going to start identifying each type and saying what's mutter to him and what's asa to him. And therefore, there was certainly a wording change. And if there's certainly a wording change, why would the Rabbanan disagree? Says the Gemara Loi. We're going to have to explain the Braisa, but Omer Ila Yudeya, that there was no wording change, but rather what he says, Ila Yudeya Shabnai Shaykh Matoichai, Yusu Omer, I wouldn't have started to identify each type separately. I would have kept my original wording, and I would have said, Kala Kal Kala Asura, Ubnai Shuach Mataris. Ask the Gemara, Man Tana Lahod Tana Rabbanan. Who is the Tana of the following Braisa that says, Nada B'chem Nisha B'nei Adam Ka'echad, that if somebody made a nether, that he won't benefit from five different individuals, and then Huta Lechem Ehen Huta Kulam. However, if his original nether was Chutz Me'echem Ehem, that he's going to not have benefit from five people except this one person, Hu Mutar V'Hein Asur. So Gemara is assuming that both in the Reisha and the Sefer of the Spraisa, he said Kulchem Asurim, but in the Reisha he says Ploini V'Ploini Asurim, and that's why by changing the wording of the nether, we apply the concept of Nether Shota Mekzasa Huta Kulay. And the Sefer, where he didn't change the wording of a nether, he just continued saying Kulchem Asurim. He, both in the original version of his nether and his revised version of the nether, he said Kulchem Asurim. Just in his revised version, he said Chutz Me'achem Ehem. So the Gemara is saying that, and in that case, we don't say Nether Shota Mekzasa Huta Kulay. So the Gemara wants to identify who is the Tana that says that only when you change your wording do we say Nether Shota Mekzasa Huta Kulay, but when you don't change your wording, you don't say Nether Shota Mekzasa Huta Kulay, says the Gemara. E Rabba, if we're going to follow the explanation of Rabba and his explanation of the Machloikis of Beis Shammai and Rekiva, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, or Beis Hillel and Rekiva, we're going to say that the Reisha represents only the opinion of Rekiva, and the Sefer, where everybody, where the wording wasn't changed, will be everybody's opinion, because according to Rabba's understanding, even Rabbi Kiva, who has the lenient approach, doesn't apply his lenient approach where you keep the same wording. According to Rava, the Sefer could only represent the opinion of Rabbanon and the Reish could have recall, because as we said at the beginning of our shir, Rava, who has the more lenient interpretation of the Machloikis, Rava, who has the more lenient approach to the Machloikis, will be of the opinion that since when there was a change, everybody says Nether Shota Mekzasa Huta Kulay, and that's why in the Reisha, according to Rava's understanding, that's the opinion that everybody holds. And in the Sefer, where he kept the same wording, only the Rabbanan, only Beis Shammai, don't agree to Nether Shota Mekzasa Huta Kulay. Rabbi Kiva would continue saying Nether Shota Mekzasa Huta Kulay. There's interesting, certainly, say the Rishonim, then we have a machlokes with Rabbi Kiva and Beis Hillel versus the Rabbanan and Beis Shammai. The halacha is like Beis Hillel and Rabbi Kiva that we say Nether Shota Mekzasa Huta Kulay. But now we have a new machlokes to add to this discussion, and that's the machlokes of Rava and Rava. So the question, whose interpretation do we follow? Do we take Rabbi's interpretation of? Do we take Rabbi's interpretation? The stricter interpretation, or do we take Rava's interpretation? So the Ramban paskins like Rava, and the reason paskins like Rava is because we go la'alocha. The Ra and the Ra paskins like Rava. One of the reasons why not to paskin like Rava is because Rava was a Talmud of Rabba. So since Rava was a Talmud of Rabba, it makes sense to paskin like the Rebbe. The Ra says that when it comes to halacha, when it comes to halacha, we don't take that approach. The Ramban takes this a step further. The Ramban says, and here we have another very big machlokes rishonim. There, as we've discussed in our shiurim, when somebody wants a neder to be annulled and he approaches the Rav, there are two types of situations. He could approach with a Pesach and he could approach with Charata. Says the Ramban that this discussion that we're having, if we say neder shutu miktsasu tekuloi, and as we said, we do paskin like Rabbi Kiva and like Beis Hillel, says the Ramban, that's only when the person is having the neder annulled with a Pesach. But if you have the neder annulled with a, if you have the neder annulled with a charata, says the Ramban, everybody would be in agreement that we don't say under those circumstances neder shutu miktsasu hutakulai. There are many Rishonim that disagree. We have not seen that type of distinction in our Gemara when we've discussed neder shutu miktsasu hutakulai. And whenever Rabbi Kiva says neder shutu miktsasu hutakulai, he's speaking both it was a Pesach or Charata. And whenever Beis Shammai disagrees, he also does not differentiate. Says the Mishnah, as we learned at the beginning in the Perek, on Daf Chaf Amabez, there were four types from the Dorim that the Mishnah identified that are always mutter, and the fourth one was Nidrei Einsim. So our sugi begins to discuss Nidrei Einsim. Nidrei Einsim, what is the illustration of a Nidrei Einsim? Hadir Chaver Shirecha Etzloi, the invitee said to the inviter, and again, as we've learned previously on Daf Chof Dalet, the Gemara already on Daf Chof Dalet told us that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, if the inviter wanted the invitee to eat by him, and he made him make a neder that I'm going to accept that invitation, that we, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, is considered Nidrei Zuzim. And we already at the beginning of our perek discussed the halacha of Nidrei Zuzim. And therefore we learned that our Mishnah, which is speaking about Nidrei Einsim, is speaking where the invitee said to the inviter, he wanted to make sure that he's going to keep his neder. So what he said to him was, make a neder that I have to come. That will make sure, that will serve as a situation, that will serve as a guarantee that I will follow through on this invitation. And then this invitee was not able to attend because Kalahu, he got ill, his son got ill, there was a flood. All of these cases are considered Eilun Nidritzin. So all the Rishonim point out, why did the Mishnah have to give us all three of these examples of Nidrei Einsim? The way to understand that, they said, is what's known as a Loizu Afsu. Not only if the person who made the neder got ill, so if he got ill, he just can't come. But even if his son got ill, so that's not he personally who can't fulfill the neder, it's still considered an oinus because a father has to take care of a son. And even if it had nothing to do with the person, he or son, but it's a financial loss, that there's a flood, and the flood is preventing him from being able to come, in that case as well, in all these cases, the Mishnah teaches us that this is considered a Nedri Einsim. The Rishonim, when they speak about Ikfenor, explain that what happened was that the rivers in those times would get frozen in the winter, and you could walk over the winter, over the river to get to wherever you had to go. And what happened here was that the snow melted. And since the snow melted, he had no way of getting to the home of the person who invited him. Others explain that the Neder, the Mashach makes this point, that when we're saying in our Mishnah that's considered, it's a Nidra Einsin, is that what happened here was unusual. But if it's usual for the river to melt, then he should have recognized that there is this distinct possibility that the river will melt, and he should have mentioned it and when he made the Neder. And not mentioning it will not make it into Nidra Einsin. The Tva disagrees. He says that even if it's something that could have been expected, it's still considered an oinus. I did see that there's an opinion of the Maharash Shoshan that this, that sort of differentiates between how unlikely that what happened is considered oinus. He says if it's very likely, you can't consider it an oinus. If it's unlikely, even if it's not very unlikely, the halacha is that it's considered a nidra einus. And as the Rosh explains, why is it considered legitimate? Why is it considered a nidra einus? So the Rosh explains that we go back to the concept that actually the Rosh introduced at the beginning of the parak, and the Rosh introduced the concept of umdin the muchach. When something is obvious, then we don't, even though the foundation of all the Hilchus Nadarim is that you have to be explicit in what you mean, but when it's so obvious that's what you meant, then the halacha is that it doesn't have to be verbally expressed. It's so obvious that this person, even though he was sincere with his nether, did not mean that the nether should be in place under the circumstances of an oinus. And that's why the nether is not a nether. The Ritva says, we go back to a pasuk that we've quoted in previous shiurim. The pasuk says, "Ha'adam b'shvua." A person who makes a shvua has to make it with sincerity. And if this person did not make the nether under those circumstances, it's not considered a proper nether. Says the Gemara, "Who gavra the atvus chos b'beidina?" That there was a person that had a dintara with somebody else. This person had a dintara with another person, and he had claims. And what he said was that I need 30 days to bring all the proof to support my position. And the Dayanim were concerned that the reason that this was just a stalling tactic. And that's the way the Ritva learns. Others learn Pshat, not that he was doing a stalling tactic, what he volunteered this, that to Besdin, I'm so certain that I have strong proof to my position that I'm willing to give up and wait the 30 days. And by 30 days, you'll just give me 30 days, and by 30 days, you'll see that I am in a strong position. Vama, and therefore he said to the Yonim, Eloy Asina Atlasin Yomim, if I won't come with my proof within 30 days, Levatlan Haris Chosay, all of my claims should become null and void. And then, Itnes Vloy Asa, his son got sick, and was beyond, that's the way Ran explains, his son got sick, and it prevented him from coming. Amar Rav Huna says, even though there was an oinus, Batlos Chosay, he gave up his rights by 30 days with this condition that he made. And since he gave up his rights within 30 days, when this happens, the halacha is that he doesn't help. Amalei Rava. So Rava, of course, asked Rav Huna, why are you taking this position? This person was an oinus. And we know that throughout Shas, that oinus Rachmana Patre, the Ksiv, where do we learn this concept? The Torah says, by a Nara Marasa that was violated. The Torah says, and she's a nacious ish, that the Aloch is the man who did this terrible act. It's Chayiv Misa. The Pasuk is referring to a situation where a woman was a nacious ish. And if a man violates a nacious ish, it's Chayiv Misa. Says the Gemara, V'lanar alay sasa dava. She's not punished because it was against her will. So we see very clear from the Torah that we say, Oinus Rachmana Patri. Of course, the Achrayim ask a very posh question. The purpose of this pasuk is to tell us that the man who perpetrated this sin is chayiv a punishment, and the woman is not chayiv a punishment. So ask the Achrayim, the Chasam Sofer, that why would we think that the woman should be chayiv a punishment? If you do an aveira, the halach is you chayiv a punishment. This woman didn't do an aveira, so why should there be a pasuk? Why do we would think that she's chayiv a punishment? So the Chasam Sofer quotes Rashi on the beginning of this pasuk, where the pasuk says "Umatza ish be'ir v'shachav ima," and Rashi says that because she was walking in places where she shouldn't have walked. Rashi quotes the statement, the expression of Pirtza Kahara Laganav. Had she not acted in the way she acted, she wouldn't have brought this to herself. So therefore, we can't just call her innocent, but teaches us the pasuk that even though she should have maybe acted differently, she still was not a voluntary participant in this aveira. It was done against her will. And here we learn, Anis Rachmana Patre. So Rava asked Rav Huna, in this case, where this person wanted to bring his claims to back up his position, but something beyond his control happened. His son got ill. Why would we take such a strict approach for Tanan? And he continues, quoting V'chitem K'tal Shani. So if you'll say, they were talking about killing somebody, and killing somebody is all different than our case. But ask the Gemara, V'tanan, haven't we learned in our Mishnah Nidre Einsim, what we, our Mishnah began by identifying what a Nidre Einsim, and it said, Adir Chaver Shiachal Atzloi, V'chalahu Ashechal Benoi, Ashik V'nar, Hare Elu Nidre Einsim. So all these cases are considered Nidre Einsim, and we have the rule of Einis Rachmanai Patre. So the question, of course, that we asked is, here we're talking, Rabbi Chanan asked this question, here we're talking about punishment. Is a person going to get punished or not get punished? And the Torah is teaching us that if you did an aveira ba'onis, you're not going to get punished. It's not considered you did an aveira. Our Gemara is referring to somebody who made a commitment and then he can't follow through a commitment. So why are the two situations compared that the Gemara is asking a question? So Rabbi Chanan answers. He says that when somebody, that there's an underlying concept before, under these the concept of oinus. And says Rabbi Chanan, what I mean to say is that what the Torah is teaching us is that when somebody is an oinus, Oinus Rachmana Patre, what the halacha really means to say is that it's not considered that I did anything. If somebody did an aveira ba'oinus, that is not attributed to him. And similarly here, if the person didn't come because he was supposed to come, it's as if he didn't. We can't have any claim to him. Ask the Gemara. Well, according to Rava, this person who had accepted upon himself that he's going to come within 30 days, and if he doesn't come within 30 days, he loses his claim. Maishna, why is this any different mihada tanan? The Mishnah Masech the Gittin teaches us. When somebody gives a get to his wife, and as we often explain, the reason they would do this is because they wanted to save their wives from needing to have yibum chalitza, because this man had no children. He says, Hareza gitech me'echshev, the get should be valid from today. If I won't show up within the next 12 months. Or then, and he dies within those 12 months. But the death was not because, so the reason he didn't come is not because he chose not to come. He didn't come within the 12 months because he died. At the end of the day, it's a get because he said that the get should be valid from today, which is before he died. Because of course we know there's a rule of en get lachamisa. So the get is not, we're not suggesting that the get should be valid only after he passes away. Of course, a get cannot be valid after one passes away. And that's why we said the get is valid mehayoyim. And even though the reason he's not coming is not because he chose not to come, it's because he passed away, which is the biggest oinus. Amai, for mitnas oinus. And if you ever say that oinus rachmana patre, that when there's an oinus, why would you take that position? And I saw that the Rishonim point out, why is this a question? Everybody agrees to oinus rachmana patre. Why are we picking on Rava? So the Rishonim point out that Rava, who just showed us that he has a very broad interpretation of Oinus Rachmana Patre. He says that the Oinus Rachmana Patre of our Mishnah by the Dorim and Oinus Rachmana Patre of the case of a woman who was violated and Oinus Rachmana Patre of the person who didn't come with his claims are all in the broad category of Oinus. If they're all in the broad category of Oinus, so we should apply it to Gittin as well. The other Mandomrim, however, Rav Huna, suggests Taisus, who has a much more limited interpretation of Oinus Rachmana Patre, doesn't mean that we'll apply it in all situations. Amri, so they said, by Dilmashani Hassam, the reason there it's different, the Aviyadah Demis, as we said at the beginning, the whole reason why this man gave his wife a get is because he wants to save her from needing to have Yibam Chalitza. Says the Gemara, the Aviyadah Demis, if he would have known that he's going to pass away, Lal Tavagam V'yav Gitta. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that he actually is satisfied to have the get kick in. Because that was his whole point, that you shouldn't have to have Yibam Chalitza. Says the Gemara, Maishna Maha, so we're saying that Oinus is not a valid claim by the get. Maishna, Mahuda Amala Eloi Asina, somebody said to his wife, as he was giving her a get, he says, if I won't show up within 30 days, we'll have a get. It should be a get. Also, so he wanted to come, and the river prevented him. There was a flood or whatever that prevented him from being able to cross the river and come and not let the get be effective. Amalu, and he's standing on the other side of the river, and he's saying, Chazu de Chazu de Soi, I'm here. Vam Shmuel, lo shmei masya. Even though he was so close, it doesn't make a difference, since an oinus is not a valid taina, the get is a get. But ask the Gemara, that in our Gemara we're learning that oinus is a claim. Amai, so certainly there is no bigger oinus than standing on the other side of the river and claiming, I'm here, just the river is preventing me from coming over. For minus oinus, says the Gemara, dim oinus to miglashani. An oinus that is common, rivers overflow. And he should have thought about that when he made this condition. And therefore you cannot consider it a valid oinus. Because ma'abra, that you should not be able to cross the river, is migli einson, is something that's common, and since it's common, he was essentially saying, explained to Rishonim, that I'm being very strict. If I come, the get will be nullified. If I don't come, the get is going to be a get, even if something like this happened. The truth is, the Rishonim point out, as the Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Git Iksubis, we learned, differentiates between an oinus by Gittin versus oinus all over. Because the Gemara said, Gzeira mishem tsnuas mishem prutzis. Chazal were concerned that a woman who got a get, and he indeed didn't show up. But if there's always an ability for him to claim that I was an oinus for not coming, and we would accept that claim, women who are pious will be careful not to will be concerned ever to get remarried. And on the other hand, there are women who are prutzes, that there was truly an oinus, but they won't take that into consideration, and they'll be ready to get remarried when they shouldn't get remarried. In order to prevent all of these types of concerns, the Torah said, the Chazal said, Einon Spagitten. And therefore the Rishonim say, the Gemara could have given this teretz, the Gemara gives a different teretz. There's a very interesting Aguda. Aguda is a Rishon. The Aguda speaks about Oynes B'Yom Akron. This person came on the last day. And the last day when he came, there was a flood that prevented him from coming. But if he would have come earlier, then it was before the flood. So the question is Oynes B'Yom Akron considered an Oynes? And the Aguda's position is that Oynes B'Yom Akron, if something happened the last day, that's not considered an oinus. You should have come earlier. It's a very relevant discussion. We know what halacha is, that if somebody missed a tefillah, so if he missed it b'mezid, there's no makeup. If he missed it b'shoigig, b'oinus, he can make it up. You missed shachris, you could daven two mitzvahs. So what's the halacha? Let's say there's not tefillah, it's 9 o'clock. And you were up and you could have davened at 7 o'clock. And if you would have davened at 7 o'clock, you would have been able to daven shachris. You didn't daven at 7 o'clock. You decided you're going to daven at 8:30. And then at 8:30, an oinus came up. Is that considered an oinus? Can we call a situation where you waited for the last moment to be an oinus? And according to Ritva, according to Aguda, that's not considered an oinus. So over here in our Gemara, where the person came at the last minute, and now he's saying, well, look, the river's preventing me from coming. Why would that be considered oinus? You shouldn't have waited for day 30. So the Nesivus asked this question. And the Nesivus says that in other areas of halacha, where you should have, could have done something, then waiting for the last minute, you can't call yourself oinus. Here, says the Nesivus, the whole purpose of this person is he does get is really something, do I or don't I want? And that's tefillah, is there halachas of tefillah? And the halachas I should have davened earlier. I shouldn't have waited, says that good for the last minute. But when it comes to get, it's do I want to be divorced or don't I want to be divorced? And since this is a situation where it's clear that I don't want to be divorced, that something beyond my control happened, that's why it should be considered, that's why here it's considered a legitimate oinus. Our Gemara had just taught us the concept of oinus and the concept of oinus rachmana patre. And there's a fundamental question that the achronim discuss. If somebody did an aveira b'oinus, they discuss the question of somebody ate non-kosher food, but he thought the food was kosher. The question is it considered that he did an aveira, or is it not considered that he did an aveira? So many, the Nesivus discusses this, and he says that even when somebody did an aveira, ba'oinus, when the aveira is a type of an aveira of issa cheftza, non-kosher food, non-kosher food is issa cheftza. The halacha is that even though he's an oinus, and even though oinus rachmana patre, it can't change the reality that he ate something that he's considered, he can't change the reality that he ate something which is not kosher. So the Nesivus' position is that it's still considered an aveira. Others disagree. And then there's a third opinion that say that oinus rachmana patre, that indeed somebody who's an oinus can be considered that he didn't do an aveira. But there's another factor to take into consideration, and that is that the macholos asuris are matantum salev. Macholos asuris are spiritually unhealthy. When you eat something that's poisonous, that's unhealthy, even though you didn't know that food was unhealthy, the reality is that food will do whatever it does because it's a physical reality. So the question is, how do we understand that Mechalas Asuras and Matantam Asalev? Does it go to the extent of
that it's metantamus aleiv, even if it was an oinus? Or do we not, some, that's one opinion? Certainly it seems that according to the nesivus, the halacha would be that somebody who eats machalas asuris under such circumstances, we would say that the metamtam is aleiv, even though it was an oinus. Ask the Gemara, or Rav Huna, who the person said, give me 30 days to bring my claims. And then he didn't come, and Rav Huna said that, sorry. But ask the Gemara, michti, let's try to understand this. Esmachtahi. And now the Gemara introduces the concept of asmachta. Asmachta means that when I enter into a deal, I enter into a transaction, I'm certain that I'm going to be able to fulfill my requirement. And in a case where a person entered into a deal, that means when somebody buys something, when somebody's doing business, somebody buys a stock, he hopes that he's going to be profitable. Otherwise, he wouldn't buy it, obviously. But he knows that there's a real possibility that he may not be profitable. Here, this person was certain that he's going to be able to show up within 30 days with his claims. If he wasn't, that was the only reason he said it. So if that's the case, this is an asmachta. And daloch is asmachta loikanya. It's not considered an obligation. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hoch the Mitfasin Schusei. That Bezdin already has the Bezdin already has it. And since Bezdin already has it, everything is different. So they explain, why does it make a difference? Because an asmachta, the reason asmachta lekanya is because the whole concept behind kinyonim is gemiras das. That I'm serious and I'm certain about my obligation. There is no gemiras das by an asmachta. But if I already handed over to Bezdin my claims, there is gemiras das. There's also machlokes rishonim, when the Gemara says asmachta loikanya, is that only midrabanan, or is that even midaraisa? The Ritva's opinion is that asmachta is loikanya midaraisa. The Mordechai's opinion is that asmachta loikanya midrabanan. Says the Gemara, why does it make a difference? Is that true, that if I already gave my claims over to Bezdin, then asmachta is a kinyan? V'heich de mitvasin lav asmachta v'atanan. Says the Gemara, Misha par mitzvah schoivei. Somebody paid off part of his debt. And we know, the Gemara often discusses, that when somebody pays off part of his debt, when somebody pays off his debt, so the malva returned to the loiva, the shtar. Here, the loiva only paid partially. So since the loiva only paid partially, the malva is not prepared to give back the shtar. He says, why and how should I give back the shtar? Maybe you still owe me some money. Mishapar mixes chayvay, v'hishlash a shtar. So they take a third party to hold the shtar, and Omar, and he says, the loiva says, im eini noisiloi mikana shloshim yoyim, if I don't pay up within 30 days, he tells this third party, Tain lo yishtaroi. He tells this third party, give back the malva the shtar. And a giyazman, and the 30th day came v'loi noson, and he didn't pay up the balance. Rabbi Yossi Omer, he gave instructions. Yitain, he should give back the shtar to the malva. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo yitain. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. V'amram nachman omer rabba baravu omer rav, en alocha krabi Yossi, v'amra smach de kanya. And here we see that even though he gave the shtar away, doesn't make a difference, it's still considered an asmachta. So the question is, why are we saying over here, by giving away the shtar, that everybody will agree that it's kaina? Says the Gemara, Shani Hache. In our Gemara, it's much stronger, because the Omer Levatlan Schusei, not only did he give away the shtar, he was very explicit by saying that all my claims should fall away. So since he relinquished his claims, that's why it's not considered a regular asmachta. And says the Gemara, v'hilchasa, what is the halacha? The halacha is asmachta koina. That it is a kinyan. However, dafka doi onus, only if it was not what happened was, it was not beyond his control. But if something beyond his control happened, so it's obvious that, as we said earlier in our shiur, that it was not his intention that the kinyan should happen, and therefore it's not it won't be chal. And even when we're saying that an asmachta is kaina, v'hu dekanimenei bebezn choshev, it had to be accompanied with a kinyan and a bezn choshev. And there's a number of explanations under Rishonim. One explanation, very much in line with what we're learning in our shiurim, is that whenever the more serious the kinyan is, when you made a kinyan and you made it in front of a bezdin, that shows a certain seriousness. And since it shows a certain seriousness, that's why it's a kinyan. Others explain that once the kinyan is performed in front of, once the kinyan is performed in the front of a bezdin choshev, so then we know bezdin always has the right to exercise the concept of hefker, bezdin, hefker. And since bezdin can exercise hefker, bezdin, hefker, that's why even if there's a flaw in the actual kinyan, still they're going to exercise the concept of hefker, bezdin, hefker. The Rishonim ask a question. Here we're discussing a smachta, kanya, smachta, loy kanya. The Gemara is saying a smachta, unless the specific conditions met, as we just learned, is loy kanya. But what is the difference between a smachta and a tanai? So, and we know, as we've discussed many times, that the Torah tells us that tanoim are effective. The whole parsha of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven is where we learn the halacha of tanoim. So Ramban says that if what you're saying is not dependent on yourself, it depends on somebody else, that's considered a tanai. Something which is in your control is not considered tonight. The Rashba says a different explanation. The Rashba says that an asmachta is a tonight is something which is much more understandable. And since it's much more understandable, it's a tonight. Something which is not understandable, where somebody is guaranteeing that, how do you know for sure, that's called an asmachta. The Chinuch has a different interpretation. He says an asmachta is if somebody is doing something as a punishment. We speak about the cases of our Gemara, where a person said that if I won't come within 30 days, I lose my schusim, I lose my rights. In these cases, explains the Chinuch, so I'm doing it to punish myself. That's called an asmachta loikanya. But in a situation where the person is make a legitimate condition, and it's not in a way that he's trying to punish himself to make or take a fine upon himself. An example that I would think is if, let's say, a builder entered into a relationship with a customer that he's going to have the project finished in a certain time. So that's not a tanai. That's an asmachta that he wants to show that I'm serious about having the job done on time. And now we would have the question, once we know it's an asmachta, would it be valid or would it not be a valid kinyan?